The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Final hour on this TD Thursday. Next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, and Parker Kelly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Going to talk plenty of Titans here in the final hour. We haven't gotten specifically in on Titans news. TD was out of town. So I do want to get your thoughts on the Jeffrey Simmons extension, which was released about 2 weeks ago. But speaking of Big Jeff, the NFL Top 100 comes out every year, and I am not a fan of it. I think having all the players just rank 20 guys leads to you not getting a very indicative ranking of what these players actually are and how valuable they are. But anyway, the 84th and 83rd players came out this morning, including Jeffrey Simmons at number 83.
Stupid.
First team all pro. 83. Horrible.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. And I think when you look at it, the guy, I don't think there's a conversation that you could truly have about who the best interior defensive lineman is. Is Jeffrey Simmons. 83rd? You mean to tell me there's 82 more impactful players in the NFL than Jeffrey Simmons?
Yeah.
Come on. What are we doing?
If he played somewhere else, he probably would be 25th?
More than likely, in a bigger
right,
market.
Like, it's ridiculous.
My thing is, I get these lists are set up to generate conversation.
Yeah.
But it should generate intelligent conversation. Like, this conversation about Jeffrey Simmons, 83rd, it's a moronic conversation to have.
Yeah.
Because it's very clear that he should be.
Right, it's wrong.
At a minimum, top 30. At a minimum.
But it's like, the players are the ones voting on this.
Are they really, though?
You see the ballots. Like, I've seen them fill them out. But, yeah, you never know what, like, it's always the, you're going to vote and I'm going to count the votes. So, I guess you don't know what the NFL is doing.
Exactly. Because I'm sure if you polled three offensive linemen on 31 other teams, shoot, those guys, you could do 32 because those guys on the Titans got to go against him too in practice, and during camp. I'm sure if you polled, Jeffrey Simmons would be much higher.
Yeah.
If you truly polled him, he'll be a top 30, top 20 player.
But we already know this list is meaningless when the first three names that come out, number 99 was Quentin Nelson and number 98 was Bryce Young. You ask any football fan, casual fan, expert fan, you ask any player, who's the better football player, Quentin Nelson or Bryce Young? 100% would say Quentin Nelson, but somehow Bryce Young is ranked higher than him.
Yeah, that list is...
It's stupid. It's very stupid, and I complain, too, about, like, if you're going to do this, go all in and put it on NFL Network and let people watch it instead of hiding it on Twitter, which they've been doing for the last few years where they release two a day only on Twitter where
they don't even show it.
They don't do it on NFL Network anymore.
Wow. See, that tells you how much I've been in tune with it.
It's pointless. But anyway, Jeffrey Simmons ranked as the 83rd best player in the NFL and almost certainly is going to be the only Titan on that list. If Quentin Nelson is 99, sorry, I don't think Peter Skoronski is going to make the list, and he's really the only other name that I could put in that conversation.
Yeah.
I wrote this down. NFL Network, Chad Reuter, did a 7-round NFL draft.
That's my guy,
draft.
Man. Good dude.
Well, we'll see what you think of what he had to say in this.
Glad to see, shoot him a text.
7-round NFL draft for the 2026 season. It's win now, but it's every player in the NFL is available. So basically a redraft. He did 7 rounds. The first Titan off the board was Jeffrey Simmons at 47, which quarterbacks are going to go earlier. I have no problem with where he went. Cam Ward picked after, almost 50 picks after Jackson Dart. Picked after Daniel Jones, picked after Tyler Shuck, and picked after Mac Jones, 93rd in this draft. I don't think Cam Ward has proven enough to be like a first-round pick in this draft, but a third-round pick after those kinds of names?
After Mac Jones?
What?
Come on, Chad. What are you doing, buddy? Chad. There's a scene in Menace to Society when Kane and Old Dog, they went and they shot a corner store owner, and they got arrested, and the guy leaned in and he said, "Now see, you know you done messed up, right?"
Yeah.
"Hey Chad, you know you done messed up, right? Now, you know you done messed up."
I missed this one too. Also after Michael Penix Jr.,
who's in an intense competition with Tua.
10 picks after Fernando Mendoza as well, who has not played a snap in the NFL. And this is win now. I was stunned to see this. He has him going to the Rams, which the team doesn't really matter here. But, yeah, I was Mac Jones is a backup quarterback. And he has him over Cam Ward. I did not understand that. But anyway, the other three players that went in this 7-round draft, so it's 224 picks. John Franklin Myers was picked. Carnell Tate was picked. Peter Skoronski was picked. So 5 Titans went off the board.
Those are the names I would have figured. Maybe Alante Taylor.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about the cornerbacks later this hour as well. But, yeah, neither of Flott or Taylor got picked.
Speaking of cornerbacks, did you see Terrion Brown? There's 3 teams interested in him.
Really?
Yeah. The Lions released him, I was like.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Lions could have waited and just let it go through the process. Like, he's probably going to get suspended no matter what happens, but he's facing, like, up to life in prison,
severe,
right?
Severe charges, yeah.
Like,
this is some severe charges.
Yeah, man. And I get it. If he's going to be on the exempt list or whatever it is, you might as well just put him, stash him if you can. But
it's not like they're short on money.
Right.
That was a move that I thought. I mean, look, who am I to question Brad Holmes, you know, who has done some –
yeah.
Great roster manipulation and rebuilding, you know, to get the Lions to where they are. But I was surprised it was just such a...
Me too. Yeah. I mean, I know it doesn't look good, but to release him outright at that point before the trial's even begun, I thought was interesting.
Very interesting.
But anyways, we started on Jeffrey Simmons. I'm sure you talked with DVD before you left about the extension, but what were your thoughts on the big deal for Jeffrey Simmons and the Titans locking up one of their key pieces?
Yeah, I think it was smart to get in front of it because, all things considered, I think he's going to have a tremendous season. I think he's going to eclipse the 11 sacks that he got last year. I think, and you look in Salah's scheme, you know, being able to get upfield and attack, and we've talked about it. This is a deal that he's well deserving of. And I think it extends beyond just what he does on the field. Give him a reason. You know, this guy does so much in this community.
Yep.
And is such a part of this community and is entrenched in this community. I think it 3-time Walter Payton, a Man of the Year nominee. He is now just like anybody. Like you dig enough. Like you could find some things that say, "Oh, come on, man! Like, what are you doing?"
Yeah.
But you know what? The man is imperfect. You know what I mean? So you're gonna have that. So miss me with the stuff that I know people will say.
Yeah.
But I think when you look at him, he's very well deserving, and I think he has been the example of how you take advantage of another opportunity, right? Because obviously, coming into the league, there was all that mess but he's been able to navigate that and, you know, really show the organization and be a leader too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he is a guy that, who was it? Aaron Whitecotton. I asked him about Jeffrey Simmons. You know, what have you learned about him since you've met him? And one of the things he said was, like, when you have the best player on your team approaching workouts and everything with the tenacity that he does and the dedication. And I know, folks, I know he wasn't on the field for
the OTA
team
stuff.
Period. Yeah. OTA. I get it. But I'm saying what the coach said. And he said, when your best player attacks things the way he does, it sets the tone for the whole team. So it's just yet another reason why this guy is so valuable to the team. So it was a job well done. Mike Borgonzi, Vin Marino, and the crew, you know, they got ahead of it. They got it done because they know what's about to happen.
Yeah, and I think it's good. We've talked about it before. Showing that you're going to reward your best players when they step up for you. And heading into last year, it was a big year for Jeffrey Simmons.
Yep.
He hadn't produced to the level that you would have hoped for when he signed that first extension. There were questions about his maturity and some of the stuff that's gone on, you know, the getting thrown out of practice, or not getting thrown out of practice, but all of that that went down with Brian Callahan and of course the aftermath as well. And it was a big question mark of, hey, is this guy part of the long-term solution here? Should the Titans trade him and just get assets? And he went out and proved himself not just as a player, but as a leader as well. So I think it was good to show, hey, when you step up for us, we're going to reward you.
Yeah, without a doubt. It set a good tone, good precedence. Now, get 77 done, and I think you're working on some things.
We can talk about that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Peter Skoronski is now next up for an extension. We will talk about what that could look like. Could it be a much larger deal than a lot of people might expect? We'll get into it after this. We'll take your thoughts as well on our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game, Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, TD with us, presented by Bart Durham Injury Law. Parker doing a great job spinning it back there.
Well, I tell you, it might. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well,
we live it dangerously, but that's all right.
Let's stick with the Titans here. We just talked about Jeffrey Simmons getting a big extension last week or 2 weeks ago. But Peter Skoronski now is the next up on the block here. Titans have not extended a first-round pick since Jeffrey Simmons. Skoronski kind of came into his own last year, and I'm really thinking this is going to be a much bigger deal than maybe the casual observer might think. Maybe not Titans fans, but NFL fans in general. Tyler Linderbaum just got $27 million. And I know he plays center and not guard, but I think Skoronski is going to be $25 million, maybe even more, when this deal finally comes down.
Yeah, I think it is going to be upwards of like 22, man. I think 22 is like the floor. You know what I mean? So as you look at the fifth-year option, 19, Joe Tipp. Yeah, I would say 23 to 25 million I think is going to end up being. And, you know, they haven't wasted any time just as far as like making it clear that he's the guy for them, you know what I mean? Someone they want to bring around. Mike Gonzi said, you know, he's one of the best younger players. You have to extend your younger players. So all of the positioning and stuff like that, I don't think there's any of that going on. There's an understanding.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. So what's the SpotTrack one?
So SpotTrack says $19.8 million is what they would guess. But, you know, again, it's not always who's best, it's who's next. And, like, Trey Smith. 4 years, $94 million, 23 and a half per year. Tyler Smith with the Cowboys got 4 years, $96 million, 24 per year. And again, I know it's a different position. Tyler Linderbaum. Chris Lindstrom sitting on my screen here is a comparable contract. Tyler Linderbaum plays center, but the interior offensive line market, I feel like, all kind of goes as one. And when he gets $27 million a year, that's going to lift up that guard position as well. So
yeah.
I think it's going to be a big deal. I would expect it probably gets done within the next month. Like, based on the way they've talked about it, I know they're not negotiating in public, but this is something that clearly both sides want to wrap up.
Exactly.
I would think sometime around the start of training camp, that Peter Skoronski extension is going to get done.
Yeah, there's no positioning or anything going on, like we said. And, I would say sometime around training camp. The good thing is his approach to it, he's not like, hey, I would like to get a deal done. I think, hey, look, man, it's up to my agents. I'm going to continue focusing on ball. And he's going to continue to be one of their best players. And he's deserving of a contract. So go ahead and make it happen. I know, again, Berganzi, Vin Marino, and that crew, they'll figure it out. They'll get it done. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's an extension tacked on to the fifth-year option. And it's done, like you said, by training camp.
Yeah, that's usually when these things get done. I was a little surprised the Simmons one got done so early, but yeah. If you can make it happen, you might as well. So we'll see with Skoronski. Moving on to the next year after Skoronski, this is a big year for J.C. Latham. And I had the conversation with Parker last week of this offensive line is in a fragile state right now. Mm-hmm. Dan Moore, probably not going to be here beyond this year, maybe next year. Center and right guard, we've talked about it. There's not really a concrete solution at either of those spots.
Question mark.
So already you're looking at there's a chance we have to fill three holes on that offensive line next year. You just can't have it be four. Like J.C. Latham's development, I think, is second to only Cam Ward's development this year in terms of the importance to the Titans. Who needs to take a step forward? It's Ward. And then it's Latham for Tennessee this year.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And he was dealing with a little something, OTAs and minicamp. But I think when you look at – this is a guy – you spent a high draft pick on him.
Seventh.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It is bad that this quickly you're like, okay.
We got to see something.
Yeah. But, it's year three. So let's see how he can settle in. I know last year the hip, had bothered him for a bit, but he has to really establish himself.
Yeah.
I'm not saying become a Pro Bowler, although that is typically what you expect from a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Right? But he needs to establish himself as a non-question mark. If you're a question mark 2 years after you're the number seven overall pick, I think that's an issue.
Right.
That's the start of an issue.
Again, as a seventh overall pick, I think you hope eventually he is a Pro Bowl, all-pro level player. That doesn't have to happen this year, but I think after this year, you have to feel confident he's your right tackle of the future. Like that's the big thing, is that you have to leave this year feeling, all right, right tackle, good. We've got JC there for the long haul. Mm-hmm. Because right now, I don't think anybody thinks that. I don't think anybody is just sitting here like, yep, confident, Latham, that's one of our bookend tackles. We're good there. He needs to get to that spot this season.
There shouldn't be any conversation about whether or not his position is solidified, that's
right,
for sure.
And it starts with just staying healthy. I do think that hip injury really set him back early last year, having to miss a month and a half to start the season after getting hurt in week one. Like, you need to see him on the field early, get into a rhythm, and hopefully that helps him take that step. But, again, you picked him seventh overall. You talk about that draft class where the first three picks were quarterbacks, but Harrison and Neighbors go 4, 5, 6, and Brock Bowers goes 13. Like, that's a good draft class. And you took J.C. Latham seventh overall, thinking he was your franchise left tackle. You need him to be your franchise right tackle now. And this is the put up or shut up year, I think, for J.C. Latham.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I mean, just the fact that they flipped him, it's just not good.
Yeah.
It's not good. It's not a good situation as of now.
Right.
Right. And I'm not saying, jump off the bridge, but it's one of those things where it's like, okay, it's starting to buckle a little bit. So let's see how this thing could re-solidify itself.
And you saw him working with Bill Callahan, and not the results that you expected with a legendary offensive line coach, but Carmen Brasillo also is a very highly regarded offensive line coach, coming over, spent time with Dable in New York. He's been in Las Vegas. Like, I'm excited to see what he can do. Maybe a different voice in the room can be helpful for J.C. Latham in his development.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully, for his sake and for the team's sake, that is something that can begin to come into place. like you said, they have one solidified position on the line.
Right.
And that's left guard.
Yep.
And then it's like, okay, so what next? Do you bump them in the right guard? Like,
yeah.
What do you
– it's like how much can you try and just, like, keep pushing this forward?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I do think J.C. Latham can be a good football player, but it's like – if you end up having to bump him into right guard after 3 years of trying at tackle when he was the seventh overall pick, it's like, man, this is a disaster.
Yeah, it's not good.
So we will see. It's a big year for J.C. Latham. Peter Skoronski should be getting an extension here shortly. But outside of that on the offensive line, nothing but question marks for the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Again, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got a couple more segments left in the show. I did want to touch on the cornerbacks here because I saw an article from ESPN. It was grading the offseason for all 32 teams. And with the Titans, the cornerbacks got a lot of flack in this article. I want to get TD's thoughts on his early returns on Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Next man up, 1025 the game.
Yeah.
God. Next man up, 1025 the game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Little Prince. On this Thursday, yeah, you got it out there.
Sitting right out there. I missed my baby when I was gone, man. I ain't gonna lie. I missed her. I was thinking about her, like, especially, like, driving at Santorini.
Yeah.
The countryside. Man, the roads there are terrible. And then even driving around Athens.
Yeah.
Man, let me tell you something. These roads are so narrow.
Yeah.
And it's like, you cannot have a sports car over there. You can't. Like, you would be in trouble.
Right. When Vandy went to Italy a few summers ago, mm-hmm. we went to Capri, and it's like a little island off the coast of Italy.
Yeah. But
in order to get up to the top, which is where a bunch of this, like, restaurants and there's like an overlook where you can look around the entire island, you have to, like, go up this road that just zigzags back and forth up. And yeah. It's like every time you make a turn, you think you're getting into a head-on collision.
You're like, oh, yeah. No, that's how it is. So when you port in Santorini and you drive up, it's nuts, man.
I could not drive in Europe.
No, because like you're looking over and you're like, that is nothing but a drop.
Right. Yeah, we get run off the road here. See ya.
It's over for you.
Yeah.
That's crazy. How I felt in Paris.
Right.
Because they don't have, like, traffic lights. I'd get really? Anxiety just
no,
driving in Paris.
Dang. Well, first of all, I hate driving in, like, big cities anyway. Like, I could never drive in New York. Like, no shot.
It's just the patience.
Right.
Man.
I mean,
it's
that's
just so
true.
Frustrating.
Yes. But, like, with European cities, it's just like there seems to be no rules. And it's just like it's a free-for-all. That's why my favorite European city I've ever been to is Venice. Because guess what? There's no cars.
It's just on the water.
Yep.
February or the summer. That's the next assignment.
Venice is great.
Venice, Rome, and Florence.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the assignment.
No, yeah. Venice is the best because it's just boats and walking. That's it. Don't have to worry about any cars. Let's get back to the Titans here. I mentioned there was an article. Seth Walder at ESPN graded everybody's offseason. And with the Titans, he gave them a B-, said biggest move was hiring Robert Saleh, move he liked signing John Franklin Myers, and says move he disliked was signing cornerback Alante Taylor. Said, as for the Titans' cornerback signings, not as good. Tennessee gave Taylor a 3-year, $58 million deal with $42 million guaranteed. He was coming off a legitimately good season with the Saints, but allowed 1.6 yards per coverage snap, far higher than average in each of his previous two seasons. Also says Cordell Flott receiving his deal was perhaps even more surprising. His yards per coverage snap numbers have been solid in each of the past two seasons, but wasn't expected to receive this much money heading into free agency. So I think Titans fans excited about those two players, viewed to be ascending guys who hit the free agent market. But I do think there's the voice in everyone's head at the back saying, is this Snead and Awuzie all over again, where the Titans invested heavily in veteran cornerbacks and they obviously did not pan out previously?
Yeah, well, I mean, there were some other issues with the Awuzie situation.
Well, and the Snead one, too, of course.
Yeah, Snead for sure. But I hear what he's saying about Alante Taylor, but I'm not sure if he's saying it from the same perspective as me. To me, Alante Taylor played his best football as a nickel.
Yeah.
So, and we lobbied for the signing.
Yeah, that was one of the guys that universally was wanted here in Nashville.
Right. I just am not sure I'm down with the idea of him only playing outside. Also, to me, I'm running cat coverage with him. He's fast enough to run with any receiver. He's swift enough, too, as far as the quickness.
Yeah.
He's already shown you he could play at the nickel spot. You know what teams do? They move receivers around to try to create matchups. I would have my guy move around with whatever receiver they move across the formation. They haven't really hinted at that. And it's early, so we don't know how it's going to be. But I think overall, the cornerback, and you know, you could mix in the Joshua Williams signing too, which is a relatively inexpensive contract that gives you veteran depth.
We know
Michael Robinson is a guy that's going to be in the mix, and you know, we'll see. And we got Parker's guy. What's his name?
Kedrain Callaghan.
There it is. But you know, when you look at this deal, I'm looking at Flott. I mean, he has a pretty significant.
Yeah, it's $45 million.
Yeah.
And
I was just trying to see, like, what type of out, you know what I mean? He has $3.3 million in dead cap after the 2027 season.
Yeah.
So
those are both basically two-year deals.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. It's the offseason, you're going to critique. Flott is a guy that, I don't know, it seems like he's one of those corners that you could get. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I have to watch him more, really, to really form an understanding and an opinion. But to me, I'm not going to say just a guy, but slightly above just a guy.
Yeah.
You know? And
the high-level corners don't get out of buildings, right?
Yeah.
Like, if Flott was an elite guy, the Giants would have found a way to keep him, and they did want to keep him.
Yeah.
But this is what you're going to get in free agency. That's why these are Band-Aid moves. You're going to use Taylor and Flott and hopefully get serviceable play the next couple of years while you are able to hopefully build through the draft behind them.
Mm-hmm.
But they
didn't draft a cornerback.
They didn't. And you know, that's why it's like next year, tackle and cornerback, I think, are the two spots where it's like, yeah, they kind of have to use an early pick there.
Yeah. And, you know, so you look at this, and this is where I have an issue a bit with analytics. You know what I mean? His yards per cover snap numbers have been solid in each of the past seasons. All right, Jake, I'm going to ask you a question. It's 3rd and 17.
Yeah.
Flott gives up an 11-yard reception.
It's a successful play.
Whoever catches the ball.
Yeah.
Michael Pittman catches the ball. They're playing the Steelers. He catches the ball, and he tackles them at 11 yards. Did he do his job?
Yep.
Because the defense is off the field and offense.
Right.
But that jades his. See, this is why I don't like
certain parts. It doesn't tell the whole story.
Yeah, it's like a bikini.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
You see a lot, but not everything.
Yep.
Booger McFarland.
There you go.
That's his comment. But, you know, just to further reading down in this article, the head scratcher.
Yeah, he criticized the Simmons extension too.
And this is, I'm trying to think of a nice way to put this. This is where more awareness is needed.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, sure. He's coming off a superb season. Yeah, sure. You could use the franchise tag. But what does that show others?
Right, if you're just stringing him along.
And then also, again, this is your franchise. Like, this is the guy, Robert Saleh. This is the guy, Mike Vrabel. This is the guy, Brian Callahan.
Yep.
They'll pull it up on film. You go back to the 2023 season against the Commanders. Terry McLaughlin on the right side, Jeffrey Simmons on the left,
yeah,
catches a screen 20 yards down the field. It's not Amani Hooker tackling him. It's 98 tackling him.
Yep.
That effort is what the coaches show and say, hey, this is what you got to do.
Right.
When it's your best player doing that, you have to keep that man happy. You have to make sure that you're doing everything. There's value beyond just, and this is where the lack of awareness shows.
Yeah.
And where it comes in. There is no way whatsoever extending Jeffrey Simmons should be criticized. There's no way.
No,
there's no way. This is it's not sharp,
right?
to do this, you know what I mean?
And it is one of those things where we're starved for content in June and July, so we talk about these things. But like the national aggregators who are putting these together aren't watching every snap of Titans games. Like Bill Barnwell put out his rankings of skilled position players, and he moved the Titans up from 32 to 25. But in the article, he mentions like Elik Iyemanner and Chim Dike aren't reliable depth. They were overmatched as starters last year. I'm like, yeah, that's why they're not starters anymore. But they're good.
They're
depth
very
pieces.
Reliable. And, depth. And I would. Yeah.
He mentions Gunnar Helm only had 8 yards per catch, and like it doesn't believe. I'm like,
look at the routes that he's asked to run.
Right.
You know, outside of corner routes and an occasional seam, he's all work. His routes are under, and this is.
Right.
You have the numbers in front of you. Like, if you're going to be a numbers person, look at all the numbers.
Right.
Right? And we just did it 2 weeks ago when we talked about accuracy being measured by
completion percentage.
But look at the numbers. Okay. Look, you like to – okay. Look at average depth of target.
Yeah. It's one of those things where – June and July, these articles come out, and we're like, all right, we'll talk about them. Mm-hmm. But these people just, they don't watch the Titans enough to actually give you meaningful analysis.
And don't get me wrong, Bill and Seth, those are my guys.
No, they're good analysts, but nobody can watch every snap of the NFL. And if you do, it's like, are you really able to...
Unless you're Dan Orlovsky.
Right. Are you able to gather everything? But
Ryan Clark.
Right. So I did want to finish with this, a little nugget on Alante Taylor. A to Z Sports put this out there based off of an interview, Taylor Zarzur with Robert Saleh. Taylor Zarzur asked about Alante Taylor, and Saleh said, elite competitor, he's making a shift from being a part-time corner, full-time nickel to a full-time corner, part-time nickel, and it's different out there. So kind of similar to what we've talked about, but that does mean that he probably will play inside a little bit.
Yeah, and I asked him. He acted surprised when I was like, I saw you bump my side a couple of times. Is that something, you know what I mean? He was like, when? Today? I said, no, last Tuesday. Like, don't play with me, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Cause like that, but hopefully that was a sign of them, you know, showing some willingness, because we know initially it was always outside.
Right.
No shade to Marcus Harris. I think Marcus Harris is going to be I'm very confident Marcus Harris is going to be a good nickel.
Yeah.
And especially I think he's going to get himself some sacks too. But again, it goes back to when you're going against the Jaguars and Brian Thomas, and they're trying to move Brian Thomas across to create matchup. Hey, get that matchup left. You want to put him on our left?
Right.
Okay, we're going. LCB is going to be Taylor. You're right. Okay, boom. Nickel, whatever you want. He's going with him. That's your cat.
Yeah.
Cat cover.
You can get better matchups with the versatility that those guys have. And having Taylor, who can play outside and bump inside, gives you the opportunity to match those matchups with the other teams.
Exactly.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Last call for phones. We will wrap up the show after this, talking about our country's greatest sporting event. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up. 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. Ending the show the only way we know how on a TD Thursday.
Right.
Next week, no TD Thursday. TD will be in New York, but the plan is to have you in on Friday.
Friday. Be Freaky Friday.
All right. We will
look forward to that.
Freaky Friday is all slow music.
All slow music on Freaky Friday.
Okay. I like it. I like it. We're taking you into the 4th of July weekend. This is our last show for the week. Chase and Big Joe coming up after us, DVD later on, but we'll be off tomorrow for the 4th of July holiday. Before we talk 4th of July, do have some hockey news, and did want to bring it up. Not Preds related. Alex Ovechkin is returning for another season.
Wow, he's still going.
Yeah, so just signed another deal. The all-time goal-scoring leader in the NHL is coming back for another year. Just signed a one-year deal with the Caps.
Did he replace his missing tooth yet?
I don't know. I think some of those guys just never do it.
Yeah.
He was my favorite player growing up around D.C., so I loved Alex Ovechkin. So cool to see that he's coming back for another year.
No, that's pretty cool to see, without a doubt. I mean, this guy has been he's one of the GOATs, man.
I mean, we talk about the physicality of football, and you're playing 17 games a year. Hockey less physical than football, but
it's still physical.
82, now 84 games a year, and Ovi's going on what, like close to year 20, maybe more.
Shout out to him for doing that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Hockey's still physical though, man. Like I didn't realize until like going down there,
right,
and seeing the impact of the collision.
Yeah,
what's his name? Number 47, McCarron.
Michael McCarron, big sexy
man. That he be rocking folks. Yeah, man. That's my favorite player on the team.
Just well, the Preds traded him.
Folks. Come on, man! What are we doing? What are we doing?
They traded him at the deadline. This was like 4 months ago, 5 months ago. They traded him.
Really?
Yeah, they traded him at the deadline to the Wild. He just signed an extension there.
So who's the enforcer now?
They've signed a bunch of bottom six forwards. Jack Drury is a guy they brought in. I don't know if he's going to be Michael McCarron, but he's like a physical defensive centerman. Not as big as Michael McCarron.
Gotcha.
But, yeah.
You know who used to be my favorite player back in the day, man? Peter Worrell.
Yeah.
That dude, nobody wanted to rumble him. The only one that would rumble him was Donald Brashear. They used to get into fights, man. But that's why I like watching.
Yeah, I know. I love watching Big Sexy play, but yeah, sadly, he's up in Minnesota now.
Damn.
I'm sorry I had to break the news to you.
Yeah, late news is still bad news, man.
I want to end the show. We've gotten multiple texts asking us to talk about this week. And since this is the last show before the 4th of July, we have to talk about our nation's greatest sporting event.
The hot dog.
The Nathan's hot dog eating contest Saturday.
Kobayashi.
Joey Chestnut is back looking for another title.
How does
nobody's going to dethrone him?
I mean, it is.
Kobayashi had him for a couple years.
Is that the Asian guy with the headband?
Yeah. He was dipping him in the water and.
Joey Chestnut has eaten at least 70 hot dogs in the event 6 different times.
Bro. One hot dog will turn my stomach upside down.
It's,
like 70?
It is one of our great annual traditions, the Coney Island Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
I guess I'll watch.
So it'll be in Central Time. I believe the women's event starts at 9:45, 11 a.m. Central Time.
So they have a women's event too?
There's a women's event. Wow. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. Go ahead, Jay.
They don't eat nearly as much, but it's still impressive.
They still get it in. Let me tell you. Nathan's fries are delicious, man. I don't know if you ever had them, but they're good. So in Philly, they used to have, because Joey Chestnut, he's a competitive eater. He's in multiple things. But in Philly, they used to have Wing Bowl. Angelo Cataldi, 94 WIP. Shout out to them, Spike Eskin and the crew. They used to have Wing Bowl, and you had to like eat something crazy to be able to get into the competition.
Yeah.
And I remember, so one of our offensive linemen, my guy Hank the Tank, that's what we called him, and that's what his name was. He ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner in one sitting in like 20 minutes. And it was like a crazy, he had a steak and fries, a baked potato, and all this mess. But like Joey Chestnut, it was like something stupid, like 200 wings or something he ate to win it.
That all of the competitors have like their own records of different things they've eaten. They have the one dude, Eric Badland something, who he chugs like lemonade. And so he'll chug like 4 gallons of lemonade in like a 2 minute span or something like that. Crazy.
That's wild. So can we consider that a sport though?
Are they
I mean
athletes?
Like it's like a normal bodily function. You gotta eat to live, you know? Like
it's like half disgusting, but so entertaining to watch.
Here you go, right here. Wing Bowl 26 in 2018. You mentioned women, and I remembered this woman, but I didn't realize what her name, how much she ate. In 30 minutes, this woman ate 501 chicken wings. She's 127 pounds. She ate 501, and that's the record. That's the Wing Bowl
record.
I think
the secret is eating a lot of lettuce beforehand to expand your stomach.
Yeah.
Really?
There's so much strategy that goes into this to get them primed and ready to go.
See, I feel like I'd want to partake in at least one eating challenge.
Yeah, I would do an eating challenge. Like, even if it was like the, you know, what's the 70-ounce steak or
something.
I would do it. Like,
I would do that.
501 wings?
No, I wouldn't do that.
No,
but,
the heck?
Not that crazy.
No, but
so
like just an eating challenge.
All right, so what would you do?
So actually in Blacksburg, there's a place called Benny's that has this giant pizza, like literally this big, and they have a challenge that you have to eat all of it. I would do that.
My stomach's hurting.
What about you, Parker? I would do the 72-ounce steak.
Yeah,
I'm dead serious when I say this. I think I could do it. I'm not even kidding. I think I could do it.
Man, I'm accomplishing something eating a daggone porterhouse, like the 20 ounces.
Yeah, that is true. Like, I feel accomplished when I eat like just a big steak. 72 ounces would be a lot.
Because I think about it like this. Like, I went to a restaurant 2 weeks ago and got a 36-ounce steak and like ate it, you know, and just like another one.
Yeah.
You know, I could do that.
Yeah.
Now I'd be pushing
it. You didn't faint?
No. TD, I can eat.
Did your wife have to drive home or you drove home?
No, I drove home.
Wow.
Wow, no food coma.
Man. He had the meat sweats.
Before we wrap up here, apparently I have annoyed some hockey fans on the text line saying football is more physical than hockey. Is this a debate? Like, football, you hit on every single play.
There's no debate.
Hockey, it's...
What 300-pounders are colliding in hockey?
Hockey, it's...
Can 300-pounders even skate that like that?
It's more impressive because hockey plays 80-plus games a year, for sure. It's more impressive that they can do that. But on a play-to-play basis, football is more physical than hockey. That's not a debate.
Yeah, come on, man.
Wrapping up the show here, TD, any plans for the 4th? I know you just got back, so probably just relax.
I turned 50 on the 5th.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. No plans on the 4th. Go out to dinner. My ladies take me out to dinner for
Love
my
it.
Birthday. And that's it, man. I'm laying low, man. Like, been
Love
out about.
Parker, you got anything going on?
Just relaxing by the pool. Eating a lot of food.
Love
there
it.
You
that's,
go.
That's it. That's
Love
all I need. I'm low maintenance.
I'm going to visit the in-laws. Should be a fun weekend. That'll
yeah,
do it
that.
For us this week. We will be back Monday morning, 9 a.m., getting ready for U.S. and Belgium on Monday night, so should be fun. But we've still got more coming up here on the station the rest of the day. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Looking for a little Hollywood style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.